Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Spooky music. Thanks, Jorge. So I had this weird idea, John, and I decided not to do it. But okay. I ordered from Amazon a Ouija board.
Why?
Because, okay, so here was the bit. I was going to bring in the Ouija board, and we were going to ask it if the Dodgers were going to win the NLDS.
Okay.
Everyone here hates Ouija boards.
I'm out.
Why?
I'm not going to do it.
Jorge?
Hard pass, dog. No thanks.
Why are you going to actively try and bring in demons?
You wanted to like sage the place. Now you want to bring in something?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Are you scared of Ouija boards? You.
I'm not. No, I would welcome the Ouija board.
Welcome the Ouija.
Although, this is weird. I asked when I was a kid, my parents and my grandparents asked me what I wanted for Christmas, mm-hmm. and I asked for a Ouija board, and they said no.
Look,
didn't want to give me a Ouija board.
I was forbidden to use a Ouija board when I was
really?
A kid. Part of
Why
it was,
do you think our parents were against us using Ouija boards?
Well, part of it is, you know, I grew up Catholic, and the one thing we know is that there actually are such a thing as exorcisms, people being, I mean,
The power of Christ compels you.
Exactly. The exorcist. And so I guess my mom was like afraid we were somehow in our basement going to unleash hell. Never happened. We did use it a little bit when she wasn't around, but I decided inadvisable because Greg and Jorge do not want anything to do with it.
Nope.
Well, I will say this, that I do believe that whatever you think about tends to manifest itself. In other words,
secret.
Your thoughts are important.
Yes.
Well, no, the secret, you can't just will, like if the secret worked, then you would just will the Dodgers to winning tonight.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, but you said they were going to win Thursday and they lost.
Yes.
So the secret doesn't work. But I don't know if you want that headspace.
Yeah.
On the Ouija board. Like I always say, you're like very into the community and Twitter and the internet back and forth.
All of our hardcore listeners in the mafia, yeah.
Right. And the mafia can be negative, so I don't go in there because I don't want the negative thoughts.
What percentage, Bergman, out of curiosity, you're in the mafia, what percentage is negative?
Maybe like 3%.
Yeah, I would say it's very, very low.
Very, very low.
It's like the people that are hardcore, everyday Mason and Ireland listeners in there.
Right. So my point is,
Twitter is real mean.
Right. And my point is, if you get a Ouija board and it tells you something negative, like let's say we went through it this bit.
Yep.
And you brought out a Ouija board and we played spooky music and we said, are the Dodgers going to beat the Padres in game 3 tonight?
Yes.
And the Ouija board said, no, Padres win. And then they win. We would be haunted by that.
You're right.
For years to come.
Yeah, I think inadvisable.
So why play with fire?
I completely agree. And that's why the Ouija board is at home. I love it. All right. So Ireland last night, another thriller on Thursday Night Football. Wow. I'll tell you, when those two teams get together, when the Commanders and the Bears get together, just unbelievable. Unbelievable football. What a terrible display for a second consecutive week on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I felt bad for Al Michaels.
Yeah.
You know, he used to have Sunday night where all the games were great.
Yep.
And now he's got Thursday night where they've got some dogs. And now he's had two dogs in a row.
Yep.
Dog.
After the game, and there's been all this speculation about whether, and we'll get to the Snyder part of this too coming up, that somehow Snyder is the one that picked Carson Wentz to be the quarterback. And then Ron Rivera had something negative to say about Carson Wentz last week, and everybody assumed.
Well, did you hear what he said last week?
I don't remember specifically.
He was asked by reporters, every team in your division, Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, is 4-1. You're 1-4. Why? And he answered with one word, quarterback.
That's
and
rough.
And later he came out and said, no, my comments were misconstrued. I was taken out of context. I meant that those quarterbacks have all been in place for a while. In fact, ignoring that Cooper Rush hasn't played at all yeah. until this year.
Right.
And he said, and our quarterback hasn't been in place. And I didn't mean that as an insult to Carson Wentz. So then everybody said, you know, drew the conclusion that, well, Dan Snyder must have shoved Carson Wentz down his throat, which led to the soundbite from last night that you're setting up.
Yep. And here is Ron Rivera after the game. Very, very fired up.
They've played their asses off. They have. They played their asses off for everybody. They come out and they show up. They work hard. All right. They don't complain. Okay. They hear all this stuff and they got to deal with it. I get that. I respect them for it because they're resilient. They come out. Everybody keeps wanting to say, I didn't want anything to do with Carson. Well, bull. I'm the guy that pulled out the sheets of paper, that looked at the analytics, that watched the tape in the freaking when we were in Indianapolis. Okay. And that's what pisses me off. Because the young man doesn't deserve to have that all the time. I'm sorry, I'm done.
And there he goes. So I think this is all a function of Daniel Snyder and the way he operates his, or he's not really supposed to be operating the football team, but the way he's operating this organization, right?
Well, I thought it was very significant last night when Al Michaels, who you know works for the NFL,
yep.
works for Roger Goodell, came out and basically said what everybody really wants is, do we have that?
Yep, got it right here.
All right, so here's what Al Michaels said during the game.
7-6, Chicago on top. After the kick, we're going to talk about the Washington situation, which is very much in the news with the owner, Dan Snyder, who is here tonight. His team right now is down by a point, 9 seconds into the fourth. Chicago trying to get to 3-3, and Washington trying to snap a four-game losing streak. And from the one, it's run back here. Jones. There was a report today on ESPN alleging that Snyder is accumulating damaging info on other owners and Roger Goodell's leverage. There he is in the middle. To avoid being voted out of the league, R. Michael Smith reporting before the game, Snyder's the subject of 5 different investigations or inquiries for sexual harassment, a toxic work environment, financial irregularities. This has been an ongoing story with the investigations and all of that. And the owners have a meeting scheduled in New York on Tuesday. It is not currently on the agenda. Fields under pressure. Just my feeling, I think what the league would love is for Snyder to sell the team. Not have to go to a vote, but just sell the team. Because it's become a major problem around the league, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, so he comes right out and says it. I agree with him. I think that's what the other owners would like Daniel Snyder to do. But, you know, he comes out and he's talking about dirt. I got dirt in this guy. I got dirt on that guy. What if he chooses the nuclear option? We saw the John Gruden emails come out of the investigation into Daniel Snyder. What other emails are there? Who was on the other end of the John Gruden emails? Who else?
Bruce Allen.
Bruce, who else talked about who and what did they say? If he goes nuclear, I would imagine there's stuff on a lot of owners.
Well, the smartest thing Daniel Snyder ever did was not have email. You know, he doesn't use
yeah,
email.
Yeah, I know.
So that's going to help him here. I believe the ESPN report. I know Dan Snyder and his lawyers are denying it, but there is so much dirt on Dan Snyder that you have to ask, well, they ran Jerry Richardson out of the league.
Right.
The NBA ran Robert Sarver out of the league, Sterling out of the league. Why wouldn't the NFL do it? And I think that ESPN report tells you why. Because Dan Snyder has been, I mean, it goes as far, Mace, as to say he's been hiring investigators to dig up dirt on the other owners, and I think he's got it. There's no other explanation as to why they keep this guy around, is there?
There is not, except the fact that he's got dirt on people. And I think the question is,
right.
What happens if he just blows it all up? I got something on this guy. I got something on that guy. There's Jerry Jones. There's some naming names. What happens to the league if he goes to the nuclear option and there's garbage about every single owner or a bunch of owners?
I don't think it ever gets that far.
You think he just sells?
No. Oh, I think it stays status quo.
They close ranks.
Yeah. I think they have already. I mean, why else would you agree to a scenario where he hired an attorney to do an investigation and then put a clause in the investigation that he and the NFL must agree on any part that gets released? In other words, he controls what gets out and what doesn't.
Right.
Why did the NFL agree to that? Well, it's because he's got a whole bunch of stuff that he can unload on people, whether it be on Jerry Jones or Roger Goodell or other owners in the league. And unless he does something Donald Sterling-esque, that there is a smoking gun. And if you read that ESPN article, they really don't have any concrete evidence. They walk right up to it several times, but they don't have a smoking gun like you had, you know, with Donald Sterling or even with Robert Sarver, where you have multiple people saying he did what he did. I think Dan Snyder will be the owner of the Commanders 5 years from now.
Wow.
Don't you?
So he survives all of it because he's got dirt on people.
I think so. I think it's a high-stakes game of how things used to be in the mafia.
You know, he said it's like the mafia. We all hate each other. And some owner said, yeah, no, we just all hate Dan.
Right.
All the owners.
And I think they
Dan.
Do, but they can't get rid of him. It'd be too toxic for the rest of the league if he does.
I'm going to throw this in. The Dodgers, if you're a Dodgers fan, and I would imagine if you're listening, you are, they have been very effective on the road. They're at the Padres tonight. NLDS, game number 3. It is Blake Snell versus Tony Gonsolin. The Dodgers had a major league high, 761 OPS, and they scored 425 runs on the road this season. And the Padres struggled hitting at home with the fourth lowest OPS and the fifth lowest runs scored during the course of the season. So the Dodgers have played really, really well on the road, better than any team, and the Padres are the fourth worst team at home in terms of all. Now, of course, you throw all that out the window tonight. So it's all there, but I mean, you know. It's,
right. Well, the thing the Dodgers haven't done, even in game one, which they won, since the third inning of game one, they haven't had any timely hitting.
No.
Which is critical in the playoffs. They haven't had any big hits in key situations, and if they don't solve that problem tonight, they're going to get eliminated.
Yeah.
And so
if you just tune in, the lineup tonight, Austin Barnes is in, again, stacking up right-handers against Snell, and Trace Thompson is in. I guess the idea is let's add another right-hander. He's playing center field. I think John and I both agree that this would be a good spot for Bellinger, given the huge play he made in game two. So, but, you know, everything comes out of the wacky Andrew Friedman lineup machine, and this is the one that it spit out. So,
Chris Taylor, too, for another
right-hander. Oh, yeah, Chris Taylor. I'm sorry, that for another right-hander. Yeah, he's in left field tonight. It was weird because I thought Chris Taylor would have pinch hit in game two, and instead they went to Austin Barnes. That would have been a good Taylor spot.
Austin Barnes was, I believe, 1-for-6 lifetime against Josh Hader, and Chris Taylor was 3-for-8, and he opted to go to Barnes. It made no sense.
Yeah, that's weird. You know,
maybe the wacky lineup machine had something I didn't see, but that made no sense.
You know, there's an actual sign next to it that says "wacky lineup machine," and it just
it's been working.
Spits out the lineup. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's been working.
All right, coming up next for you, John. We have discovered, or it has been discovered, a never before heard Freddie Mercury Queen song.
Really?
Yeah. Plus, Caleb Williams. And DTR is off this week. UCLA is off, but the Trojans are at Utah. Where do they stand in the Heisman race? I've got some intel on that coming up, too. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes, be nice.
How did it go after me the whole time?
Kyle Downey, by the way, is the moderator of the Mason and Ireland Mafia. And John, as He's you off. Heard, he kind of overcorrected for negativity.
A little bit.
Yeah, so Kyle, wherever you are, you can loosen up a little bit. As you heard, we bag on each other all the time. And if you want to put the word West Brick in the Mason and Ireland Mafia, it is okay.
He deleted something because they called Joe Buck trash.
Really?
And he cut it, yeah.
Well, Ireland.
Soft.
Isn't this the kind of guy you want? Somebody who's really squeaky clean running the mafia?
Yeah, that mafia is all yours.
Okay. Yeah, they're our most loyal listeners. So here is a brand new, just uncovered song by Queen with Freddie Mercury as the lead vocalist. I've not heard this. Here it is. What do you think, Jono?
I like Freddie Mercury. I'd have to hear the rest of the song. It seems a little slow for me.
It is slow.
But, you know, Prince has like 200 songs he never released.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you die and you release a song, I think people are curious and they'll probably buy it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it'll do okay.
You should play this on your next cryo or whatever you do.
Oh, I'll choose it for my next cryo treatment.
You might fall asleep.
That would be tough. I need something super upbeat. Super upbeat. All right. So USC's at Utah tomorrow.
Hey, what time is that game at?
It is at 5:00.
Okay, I'm going to watch that game.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it's going to happen simultaneous to Dodgers-Padres, too, so you're going to have to do some switching
picture
around.
In picture.
Yeah,
DirecTV. God bless them.
So I've got the, according to BetMGM, the Heisman Trophy odds. And, John, where do you think Caleb Williams is ranked?
Got to be top three. Got to be.
Number two.
Yeah.
The only guy ranked in front of him.
One bad game.
The only guy ranked in front of him, CJ Stroud from Ohio State. Okay. That's
the
favorite.
He's had a big year too.
Third, Bryce Young from Alabama.
Last year.
Fourth, Hendon Hooker from Tennessee. Tennessee's been good this year. And number five, Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
No kidding. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about this last night. I mean, can you imagine? Assuming USC beats Utah tomorrow, and it's a fairly big assumption. USC has not been good against the run. Utah will just run it down your throat. Caleb Williams is going to have a really good game, ball control game, probably a lot of Travis Dye to try to match what Utah's doing. But if they do win, I think we're going to get UCLA could trip up at Oregon, right?
They sure could, yeah.
But we have the potential to get two undefeated teams in the USC-UCLA matchup this year, which would be just unbelievable for the town.
First time since 1988 when Rodney Peete beat Troy Aikman in that game. Yeah, it'd be unbelievable if it could continue. That's a lot of games, though, between now and then. By the way, speaking of games, Cleveland just knocked off the Yankees in New York. Mm. So that series game a piece.
By the way, I'd also say that if USC gets by Utah and UCLA gets by Oregon, they are undefeated in playing each other.
Right.
Wait a minute. Doesn't USC have to play Notre Dame? And
that's Notre
late.
Dame is after
Notre
UCLA.
Dame's after UCLA.
Oh, okay.
So they have it's a little bit of an easier schedule to get to each other at that point.
So they go to the Rose Bowl for UCLA, and then they get Notre Dame at the Coliseum in the last weekend of the year, the Thanksgiving weekend. So, yeah, it's very, very good for college football. Pete Arvogast, who's the voice of the Trojans, likes to call...
How do you do?
Yeah, he likes to call it a perfect Saturday if USC wins, Notre Dame loses, and UCLA loses. And I actually... The Notre Dame part, I have no beef, really, with Notre Dame. Like, it's a great rivalry. I like it. I don't hate Notre Dame. And I don't hate UCLA. I think it's... The games are better when those three teams are successful. So I don't understand the perfect Saturday thing that how do you do Pete Arvogast talks about.
Well, he's talking from the perspective of a USC fan. So, I mean, Bergman roots against USC every time they play.
Do you root against USC?
Yes. I'm the same way.
I root against UCLA.
Good, you should. I root for UCLA and anybody who's playing USC constantly, every time.
So a perfect Saturday for you is UCLA winning, USC losing.
Yes, I would like for USC to go 0-for every single year. I don't want them to win another game.
We were talking about this last night. So the Big Ten, USC and UCLA obviously move into the Big Ten. And that means there are going to be three open dates. Likely, right? Three open dates. That's what the SEC has. That's what the Big Ten has. Okay. I really want Notre Dame to be one of those three. And Bergman says, I'm crazy because Notre Dame can potentially be good and spoil everything. I want to maintain, that's a rivalry that I really, really like and would hate to see go away.
I'm with you. The one thing about USC is they've always taken on, especially when Pete Carroll was there.
Yep.
They've always taken on really good non-conference opponents. Every year they'd play an SEC team like, you know, Auburn or Tennessee or Arkansas.
Yep.
Or somebody like that. And UCLA has, for the most part, this year UCLA just set up three cupcakes.
Although, you know, they played at HBCU, which is actually really good for them. It was Alabama State.
Yes.
You almost lost to them.
And that was South Alabama.
South Alabama they almost lost to. Yeah.
Who is not? They're on the Sun Belt.
Like 1918 or something like that.
But this is what I'm talking. Like, we have to think about it. Is eventually we're going to start changing into a much bigger world of where it's going to be the East versus the West or the SEC versus the Big Ten. Strength of schedule doesn't mean as much as it once was. So you're just going to have to get through the seasons. And so if you put in a team like Notre Dame to play still, you're going to have to go through Penn State and Michigan and Ohio State and, you know, whoever else is all the other good teams that are in the Big Ten, plus UCLA. Why would you want to add another team when Alabama is playing North, South, West, Mexico State?
Because I want one non-conference good school. And
by the way, Greg, Alabama always plays at least one decent non-conference opponent.
But they also play that other garbage team like at the end of the season. So when they're playing Gainesville State, you're playing Notre Dame?
Well, no, but we'll still schedule Rice or San Jose State or Fresno State. We'll still have two cupcakes, which Notre Dame.
You're already going to have a tough schedule through the Big Ten and still UCLA. Why would you want another team that's going to be that difficult to get through?
I want Notre Dame. I think that's a rivalry that should be maintained. I mean, if you read about that rivalry, there was a time when that was the first, like, intercontinental. That's not really the right word. John, what am I trying to say? They got on a train. They came all the way out to USC. They played that game.
Right.
It was a time when travel was more difficult, and they still found a way to do it. To me, it is, I think, one of the oldest rivalries in college football, and I'd like to see it maintained.
Greg, I think you're forgetting sports at its core is entertainment. What's entertaining about UCLA and South Alabama? No, you know, I'd much rather have them play Tennessee.
I would much rather have them play South Alabama and Alabama State and have a shot at the playoff. So if you go through these bad teams and you go undefeated through the whole year, get past USC, get past Cal, and you're in the championship game for the Pac-12, I'm fine with that. I don't care who they play. I just want them undefeated.
Yeah, if I'm going to invest either going to the game or watching the game on TV, I want the opponent to be real.
Yeah, me too.
Notre Dame-USC is a great rivalry. I hope they keep it.
Yeah, me too. All right, coming up next for you is Matthew Berry coming up next, the talented Mr. Roto.
He is.
All right, so get your fantasy football questions teed up at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L-A, Ireland. You can also do it inside the Mason and Ireland Mafia if you're a Mafia member. And
soft.
We'll take a couple of calls, 877-710-ESPN, this or that for your fantasy football weekend. I am in a huge dilemma. I try not to make this about me, my fantasy team. But, John, I've got a huge crisis on my fantasy team now that
really?
Cam Akers has just vanished. Just okay. Vanished. We got that coming up for you. Talented Mr. Roto next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Oh, I knew Matthew Berry when he was young, and now he's powerful. He's on NBC, and he joins us now. Matthew, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Mace. I'm glad that you – when you said I knew him when he was young, I didn't know where that was going. I thought you were going to say now that I know him when he's old. Which, by the way, is factually correct. You did know me when I was young, and you do know me now that I'm old, but I appreciate you going the other way with that.
There you go. There you go. So I've got a I try to never make this segment exclusively about me and my team, but I have a specific question this week.
Right. The key word there is exclusively. Exclusively. I always feel like the segment's always somehow about your team.
Yes.
All right, yes, sir. Go ahead.
5-0, by the way. 5-0. So I have Cam Akers on my roster. And I have Josh Jacobs on a bye, which means that I can either play Ezekiel Elliott with Tony Pollard or Ezekiel Elliott with that Taylor Algier of Atlanta. It is not, they're not good options, but which should I play?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you. That is not ideal. You may be 5-1, but that's okay. You're playing with house money at this point. I think in that scenario, what I would do is, because obviously they both have tough matchups, Dallas on the road at Philadelphia against that Eagles defense that is, you know, been so good this year. They're the 10th best run defense in the NFL. But San Francisco's been even better. No team in the NFL has given up less rushing yards per game than the 49ers. So I think what I would do is I would just start both Dallas guys and say, you know what? It's probably not going to be great, but at least I lock in the Cowboys running back production, and hopefully those two guys combine to get you one decent score. Whereas with Algier, you've got some, you know, it's sort of a committee there where they've got Avery Williams in there and they've got Caleb Huntley. It's like this three-headed monster playing the Niners. You know, so my expectation here, I'd rather just, I think Dallas is a better offense.
Get the Cowboys running backs and hope for the best.
Correct.
All right.
All right, Matthew, I made a decision today for a really stupid reason, and I want you to tell me how stupid it is. I had a toss-up at receiver between Alan Lazard and Jerry Jeudy, which are basically the same guy. They've got about the same amount of production this year. They're both good, not great. And my sole reasoning, Matthew, was Jeudy plays on Monday night, and I like having a guy on Monday night in case I'm behind. How stupid is that?
It's not stupid at all, and I'll tell you why. In essence, what you're saying is I have a coin flip. I probably would have gone with Lazard. I would have gone with Lazard personally if you'd asked me that question. But I will tell you, I do the same thing. When it's a coin flip, when it was fantasy football is a game we play for fun, and it's a game that's emotional. Right? And you always like, you know, if it all goes to crap, John, and you're just like, you know, like at least you go into Monday night and go, you never know. Maybe he has a Travis Kelce 4-touchdown game. Maybe I get a Monday night miracle. You never know. Like at least it gives you some hope. So I will do that. If I have a coin flip, I will choose the guy on Monday night or the guy on Sunday night. Like give me some sort of root for and look forward to, only in the scenario where it's a total coin flip. Which sounds like for you it is, you know, listen, it's a better matchup for Jeudy going against the Chargers. The Chargers banged up defensively. They're a bottom 12 pass defense so far this year. You've got the Packers coming over from London. They didn't get the bye after the London week. But for me, I'd rather the guy catching passes from Aaron Rodgers than the guy catching passes from Russell Wilson these days. That's for me, and I think Lazard has a much better chance at scoring a touchdown. I mean, Jeudy, I believe the stat is Jerry Jeudy has played, I want to say at this point, 35 NFL career games. I could be wrong on that number. And he scored 3 touchdowns in 35 career games. Whether it might be 34 or 33 or 36. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. But it's like he scored in a 2-year career, he scored 3 touchdowns. He just, you know, I don't think he's had over 60 yards since week one. So I would have gone Lazard there, but I think, to answer your question, is that stupid? I don't think so. Because, give yourself a shot on Monday night.
All right, let's get to some questions from listeners. Let's start out with Caesar in Hawthorne. Caesar, you're on 710. Go ahead for Matthew Berry.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Quick question. Do I start Lamar or Hurts?
Oof. Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts?
Oh, I thought you said Kirk, and I thought you were like, is this a question, Lamar Jackson or Kirk Cousins? I don't think you can go wrong with this one. Honestly, I would probably start Lamar Jackson. I mean, listen, I have Lamar Jackson at QB2 this week, and I have Jalen Hurts at 3. So, I mean, again, I don't think you can screw this answer up, but I would rather go against the Giants than the Cowboys. Just the Cowboys are such a good defense. I think both guys have great games, but Lamar is just too good.
Okay, how about
here's one. Lamar?
Go ahead, John.
Honestly, here's what you should do, though, Caesar. Hang on 1 second. Caesar, I don't know if you're still on the line,
no,
but
he's not.
You need to trade one of those guys. You need one.
Right.
Caesar needs to trade one of those guys. You shouldn't be rolling around with Hurts and Lamar Jackson. You got two MVP candidates. Improve your team somewhere else.
All right, Matthew, I can't believe I'm going to ask you this question. It comes from Grisa. Kyler Murray or Geno Smith?
Right? I mean, like, Geno Smith is one of the great stories of the NFL this year.
Right. Right?
You know, absolutely. He's been, you know, listen, they wrote me off. I ain't right back. Like, what a great phrase. I have a QB9 this week. I'm still playing Kyler Murray, but I know you say, I can't believe I'm asking this question. I think at the beginning of the season, none of us would say that, but he's absolutely legit. He's a legit top 10 play this week. He's a legit top 10 player the rest of the year. Just to talk about Geno for 1 second, guys.
Yep.
It's a perfect fantasy storm. They have elite playmakers on offense in Metcalf and Lockett. And I think this rookie running back, Kenneth Walker, is going to be really something special. And they have he's getting better protection than I think people expected. And then he's got this awful defense. So he's getting the shootouts. They're weirdly playing at a faster pace of play than they ever did under Russell Wilson. They're literally letting Geno cook when they didn't let him do it, when they didn't let Russ do it. And real talk, like just from the eye test, Geno Smith can play. Like, this isn't fluky stuff. This isn't Jimmy Garoppolo throwing a 3-yard pass that then Debo Samuel runs 70 yards after it. This is Geno Smith, like, big-time NFL throws. You watched the 2 touchdown passes to Tyler Lockett last week on the road at New Orleans, and those were beauties between in double coverage. Like, he's in the mix for comeback player of the year, one of the best stories. So he is legitimately a top 10 quarterback the rest of the way. But in this particular case, I would rather face Seattle's defense than Arizona's. And Kyler Murray just has more rushing upside than Geno does, although Geno has been pretty mobile this year.
Matthew Berry from NBC is with us. Let's go to Gio in Highland Park. Gio, you're on 710. Say hi to Matthew.
Hey, Matthew. So for my wide receiver 2, Amari Cooper or Christian Kirk or non-PPR? Thanks a lot.
I'm going to go with Christian Kirk. I'm a little nervous about Amari Cooper facing the Patriots. Patriots have done a really good job defensively. And think about what Christian Kirk did the second week of the season against Indianapolis. He was a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. He caught the 2 touchdowns. Just a monster season. The Colts have really struggled against slot receivers. Zay Jones is expected to be active in this game. And so Kirk will move back to the slot. He's been playing more outside the last 2 games with Zay Jones out. But my expectation is he plays the majority of the snaps in the slot against the Colts. And I think he'll have success there. So Kirk would be my answer.
Matthew, here's one on paper that looks even, but I just would never bench one of these guys. This is J.C. Asparius. He says, Chris Olave or Gabe Davis? I would just never bench Gabe Davis. Would you play Olave in front of him?
No, I wouldn't. I understand the question. You know, I mean, Olave, Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry have already been ruled out. So Olave, who's been nothing short of terrific this year, you know, he's going to get a big target share, but I'm with you. I'm still going with Gabe Davis. That Buffalo Chiefs game is the highest over-under on the board. We expect a ton of points to be scored there. Gabe Davis, I mean, like, how could you bench him after last week, after the 2-touchdown
right.
game? How could you bench him against Kansas City the last time he played the Chiefs? He had 4 touchdowns. I'm with you, John. Like, I think that's a nice problem for him to have, but yeah, I'm starting Gabe Davis. I want as much of that Bills Chiefs game as I can get.
Okay, let's get one last one in here on Twitter. Let's see, that's done. How about J.K. Dobbins or Devin Singletary?
I like this, but as I just said, I want Devin Singletary here. If you look closely, in the games in which the Bills have been blowing the teams out, the Steelers last week, the Titans, Rams won, Singletary hasn't played that much. They get the other guys involved. But in games where it's been close, like the Ravens game, Devin Singletary gets a ton of work. And he plays like 76% of the snaps when the Bills are tied or it's close. It's within one score. We obviously expect this game with the Chiefs to be a very close score. He's the passing down back, Singletary, top 10 in the NFL among running backs in receptions and receiving yards. Like I said, I want as much of that game as possible. Give me Devin Singletary. He made the love list this week. I'm in on Singletary against the Chiefs.
Last thing for you. A lot of people on Twitter right now are asking questions about Taysom Hill, who is now lined up as a tight end and had just a phenomenal week last week. What is there to expect from him? Is he playable? What do you think of Taysom Hill?
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. He qualifies a tight end, and yet he plays everywhere else.
Yep.
Right? I mean, he plays more snaps at receiver and running back combined than he does at tight end. He actually plays a lot of snaps on special teams. He throws the ball. Here's what I would say about Taysom Hill. The thing is he's playing less than 30% of the snaps for the Saints. So you're like, you know, the touchdowns last week were a little fluky in the sense, you know, you're never expecting a 4-touchdown game from anyone. I will say this, though. In essence, basically what with Taysom Hill, because he plays so few snaps, he plays less than 30%, you need a touchdown from him to pay off. But then when you start thinking about it, okay, so he's a touchdown-dependent tight end. Well, most of them are. You know, if you're once you get past like the Andrews and the Kelseys of the world, right? You know, you start getting into that Pat Freiermuth range.
Yes.
Like basically, like every touch, Irv Smith, the Gerald Everett of the world. Like basically, most tight ends this year in fantasy are basically touchdown dependent. You start them and they'll get you a couple points, and you hope they get into the end zone. And so then when you start thinking about, okay, he's a touchdown-dependent tight end, and I'm considering him versus other touchdown-dependent tight ends because I don't have Kelsey or Andrews or a star like that, then you're like, well, this is a touchdown-dependent tight end that's going to get a couple of carries inside the 10 every week. So, okay. So now, you know what I mean? Like, once you view him through that lens, I think he becomes a viable starter, but I think you do have to view him through that lens, which is don't expect what you got last week.
Right.
Expect him to be a... He's a touchdown-dependent tight end who the weeks he scores, he's going to pay off for you, and the weeks he doesn't, well, you're going to have like 6 or 7 points.
All right, so Matthew, I have watched your Peacock show now. It is really good. You're doing that daily on Peacock Fantasy. What do you call it?
Fantasy Football Happy Hour.
It's really great.
It's great.
Really great. And then, of course, the Fantasy Life app is fantastic. The love-hate column is at NBC Sports Edge. Anything I'm missing? Podcast?
The Happy Hour, you can get that. The show that we do on Peacock is also a podcast that you can get wherever you listen to podcasts. And Fantasy Football Pregame, which is our Sunday morning show. We're live from Philadelphia this week, guys. So I'm really excited about that.
You'll probably get booed, Matthew, because everybody does in Philly.
I'll be wearing a Jalen Hurts jersey, though. Jalen Hurts was my preseason ride or die.
Yes, he was.
So hopefully they like me there in Philadelphia. But, Fantasy Bowl pregame, 11 a.m. Eastern to 1 o'clock Eastern. It's on Peacock. The second hour will be simulcast on CNBC.
Wow.
So should be a really fun show. So 8 to 10 out there on the West Coast. Check it out on Peacock and then CNBC.
All right. Hey, Matthew, great of you to come on. Thank you very much. We always appreciate it, especially now that you're big time. Thank you for doing this.
My pleasure, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
All right. See you, Matthew. Thanks.
All right. So coming up next, Bergman, do you have a good Bobcat here? We got something good coming up? Yes, he says yeah. He's
it's
nodding.
Amazing. It's amazing. So good. Okay. Best ever.
So stand by for an amazing Bobcat. Wow. Next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thank you very much, Chris and Amanda. And by the way, Philadelphia is now destroying Atlanta 6-0.
Yeah, killing them.
Just absolutely. Spencer Strider.
Bryce Harper just hit a ball to the moon.
And yeah, now he's doing an interview with Ken Rosenthal right after. That's weird. But good for them. All right, so putting a thumbs up on a text or just using the thumbs up emoji is pretty normal, right?
Sure.
So I use it all the time to end a conversation.
Do it all the time.
Yep. But Gen Zers are apparently starting to find a reason to not like it. They think it's too passive-aggressive and hurtful. And should not be used anymore.
You know, I saw this.
Ban it.
I don't understand what is passive aggressive about a thumbs up.
It's like, okay, done. Like, I don't know. They just say that it's hurtful to use and it's passive aggressive. So, how do you feel about the usage of the thumbs up emoji?
You know, the thumbs up is kind of it's like when I don't know how to respond, I just send a thumbs up. You know, I basically use laughing emoji, fire emoji, and thumbs up. Those are, and sometimes the two eyes. Those are the only emojis that I use. But I don't understand the gripe with the thumbs up.
Do you use I may use the thumbs up more than any other emoji. Like when I went to my emojis, it's the first one that pops up. Here's the ones I must use the most. Thumbs up, the thank you emoji.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, like
the prayer hands.
The prayer hands. The smiling face with the sunglasses and the fire emoji.
I use that one. The sunglasses one is good. You never use the tilted to the side laughing emoji?
Crying one, yeah. Well,
I use that one all the time.
That's my most common one. My most common one. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sending you guys one that you should use more often right now.
Oh, we should use that all the time.
That's
the Raider emoji.
Stupid. and John, I'm going to send you the one that I use after every game for the Raider games. The one with the hand in the face.
That's true. Hand
probably
in the face.
Probably appropriate.
I also like this emoji.
Greg, I'm sending you back the one I use.
The I don't know hands up emoji. Did you ever use that one? This one. The hands up, I don't know. That emoji is good, too.
I like that one, too. But I use that as the shrug. I use the old school, like, emoticon version of that.
Emoticon!
Yeah, so this one. Yeah, I'm going to send it to you. Where it's like you actually see the whole red
face. Yeah. I know that one. That's a good one.
All right, what's yours?
Have you guys noticed that pregnant man emoji?
No, there's a pregnant man emoji.
Yeah.
What's the point of that?
I have no idea. I sent it to you right now. Like, look, you have it.
What? Like, what would the objective of a pregnant man emoji be?
Yeah,
no, I don't understand that.
Nope, yeah. I don't need
to send take that one like, down, not the thumbs up.
It's like the people that say we're pregnant. No, your wife is pregnant.
Yeah, your wife is pregnant.
Yeah, you're not. It is definitely her that's doing
the work. Yeah, you're doing nothing.
Yeah.
Literally nothing.
Yeah, I'm just taking the baby bonding time off.
There you go.
Bobcat.
All right, so you guys were kind of talking around this a little bit earlier, but I was showing Travis a video this morning that was a Ring camera video of a ghost just floating in the background and bumping a chair a little bit. He said he unequivocally does not believe in ghosts. I thought he was crazy to think that, but do you two believe in ghosts?
Yeah, they stole Michael's wine in the hotel.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I believe in him. Our hotel in Milwaukee is haunted. Our hotel in Oklahoma City is haunted. And I've been waiting for these ghosts to come visit me specifically, and I've had no luck.
So here's the thing with ghosts. I don't believe in ghosts at all.
What? Why?
Because there's no...
But you believe in Ouija boards?
But there's no... Is there any evidence of ghosts? Has it ever been proven? Has there ever been scientific proof?
I mean, you see videos, but like people just say like, oh, you can edit that way. I mean, what other proof do you want?
So, now, what I do believe is that sometimes people do something on the way out the door. Like, I strongly believe that when my grandfather died, the light flickered. And I got a call like 10 minutes later saying Grandpa's dead. Like, I think people do stuff like that, but I don't believe.
So you do believe in ghosts?
Well, I believe it. No, on the way out the door. On the way out the door, he flickers the lights. See ya. That's what he said. Grandpa said, see ya. But no, I don't believe in ghosts. I'm not afraid of them. I would go to a haunted house and have no issue with it. I don't believe.
I just think there's
I will say this, Greg. Mm-hmm. My grandfather on my mom's side was the smartest guy I ever knew. Like, super successful in business and in life and... So when he turned 90, his wife, my grandmother, died. And every day he watched Mace. You remember that guy, John Edwards?
Oh, sure. John Edwards.
Who could communicate with the beyond.
Yep.
He watched John Edwards so he could figure out ways to talk to his dead wife. And he was the smartest guy I knew. So I think deep down, most people do believe in some type of ghost or afterlife.
I believe in an afterlife. I don't mean to get that wrong. I do believe in an afterlife. I just don't believe ghosts are hanging out around here.
I just think there's unexplained phenomena. And like, just why couldn't it be ghosts? I mean, it doesn't have to be a ghost specifically. But there are things, there are spirits floating around. And they're, you know, like, you don't just go up into heaven and live there.
I think you just go. Yeah. I think you're just out the door.
Yeah, maybe go there this weekend.
Maybe you flick the lights on your way out the door, but you're gone. You're at that next dimension, whatever the hell that is.
Mm-hmm.
Bobcat.
What you got, Jorge?
Okay, guys, so after 30 years, Cartoon Network Studios is being shut down. It'll be merged with Warner Brothers. So if there's a channel, John, I'm pretty sure it's something that, you know, would be devastating for you is if the Hallmark Channel went out of it. So what channel
don't even joke about that. Don't even put that out in the universe.
So what channel would you be bummed out if they just decided to cut the cord on?
Well, the one that would affect my life the most is if ESPN went away. That's probably the channel I have on the most.
Yeah, it's true.
But in terms of like pure pleasure, They better not take away Bravo. You know, this weekend, Mace, it's BravoCon. No, it's BravoCon.
Yeah, I actually watched the end of, because Juan was watching it, the end of Real Housewives of Salt Lake last night, and those women are nutso.
Well, that is, they're the craziest bunch of women ever.
Is it the Salt Lake, is Salt Lake the craziest?
Oh, yeah. Well, my girl Whitney looks like she was created in a lab to be a... Mm-hmm. She's hot. She's a mess. She's a Mormon. She's got stripper poles in her house.
Wow.
She has renounced the Mormon faith, and they're trying to get her back. It's spectacular. You got to watch Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. It's
I'm trying to think if there's a channel. I mean, I would be bummed if I lost all my cable news channels. I watch them all on a pretty regular basis. I don't watch. Otherwise, it's all streamers. I mean, the only thing I really use, I use it for sports and cable news, and that's really about it. So yep. that would be my answer. But same, I will not miss the Cartoon Network.
Bobcat.
I used to love the Cartoon Network.
Yeah, me too.
So I did something different last night that I've never done before. I was on Bumble, and they had this thinking. They have this thing
what
called.
What were you doing on Bumble?
Well, because you know there's
Bergman single.
Rich people on Bumble.
God bless you.
And they had this thing called Banter, which they partnered with Ted Lasso and Banter, like on the front of the Richmond FC jerseys. It says Banter,
right? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So they partnered with them, and it was this speed dating through the app where you couldn't see the person. You just connected to someone that they put you together with, and you had 3 minutes to chat, and then you had to decide yes or no at the end. They did show a very small picture.
It?
I did, yeah. I did a few of them, actually. Yeah. So I was just wondering, so have you guys ever done any type of speed dating before you were with your partners?
I actually think I did do something at some bar in San Diego one time where everybody changed tables really quick. Bore no fruit. I was not, you know, didn't connect with anybody there. But, I used to do Match.com. And it seemed to work. I mean, but a lot of times you just meet somebody and you're like, yeah, no, probably not.
I got married too soon. I didn't get to do any of that stuff. I wouldn't mind trying speed dating, see what happens.
I didn't settle down. I didn't settle down until I was 45 years old. I had much fun in my 20s and 30s.
I mean, did anything come out of your, what do they call it?
Banter?
Banter.
Yeah, did anything come out of it?
Yeah, I have a date with one.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. What's her name?
I'm going to leave that
Heather?
Off. Let's
Courtney?
Just call her...
Brittany?
Let's just call her date number one.
Dot.
Dot. Dot.
We got a new dot.
New dot. New dot.
Every girl I ever date will now be named Dot on this show.
I like it.
Excellent. Is that it, or you got one more?
Okay. Dog.
Hit the wrong button, but I can do a kick off the planet that somebody else gave.
Sure.
Drea, who is in the mafia, gave me this one. You have to kick one off the planet. Pillows or bed sheets?
Ooh, that's tough.
Can't live without sheets.
But can you live without a pillow?
Can't live without a pillow.
Yeah, I could. I need to. So I'd be just sleeping on the mattress itself?
Yes, no pillow.
Yeah. No, I would have a pillow if I gave up the sheets, right?
Oh, but you could put a blanket over your mattress.
Yeah, so you either have a pillow, no sheets, or sheets, no pillow.
I'm giving up the pillow.
I'm giving up the sheets. I need my pillow.
Much easier for you to spill food everywhere and not
pillow,
have to clean.
I have a specific three-pillow regimen. There's like...
Three?
Yeah, three
it's
pillows.
Too many pillows.
There is a flat one that's really hard. Then there's a super hard one. And then I put one on top of my head.
So I do, too.
Do you put a pillow on top of your head? It's great.
Yeah,
it shuts out the world.
Lisa calls it the fort.
Hmm.
She goes, oh, great, you're going under the fort? I said, yep.
That's what I do.
She can't hear anything. I developed that, Mace, when I lived in a fraternity in college.
Oh.
So if there was a party going on downstairs and I wanted to crash, I would just put the pillow on top of my head, and it stuck.
Yeah, I do it, too. I like to be closed in. And a lot of times I sleep with my earbuds in because I have my positive message guy that talks all night long.
You're good enough, you're strong enough, and gosh darn it, people like you.
You know, you make fun of this, but I think it makes a huge difference in my life.
You are not fat. You're weight challenged.
You're big.
Enjoy your donuts. Matter of fact, order more. I'll send you a discount coupon.
Back.
am in the here and now.
That's what I listen to all night long. Beautiful. Is that guy's voice. Yeah.
Excellent.
Coming up next, wow. We're trying to get through everything on our prep doc, and I'm trying to see what is next. Coming up next, Bob Myers said something really interesting about the Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, and a Russell Westbrook trade that, at least according to the trade machine, suggested by Bill Simmons, would work. We got that coming up for you next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.